Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back for another episode of the KevCast. I am your host, Kevin Winder, and I'm glad that you're here. I totally believe that you are not listening to this by accident. Isn't that an interesting idea? Now, we hear that stuff all the time, but take a minute and think about it. Today, we are going to go into the deep end. You're going to have to turn on your brain a little bit and think through some of this. Some of what I'm going to say is going to clink in your thinking. It's kind of like the giant monkey wrench sitting in your back pocket that when you turn around and hit the porcelain sink, it makes that terrible sound and you swear something is about to shatter. That is what pieces of this can and may just do inside of your thinking today. Do I have your interest? I hope so. Today we're going to talk about logic and double talk. Logic and double talk. And like all of my podcasts, I try and weave multiple threads together so that you can create a new context, a new tapestry in which to view the world. And when you see things differently, the result is transformation. The result is a new life, a new worldview, a better life. And that's my goal. So we're going to focus on logic and double talk. And to start off, I'll just say that there are concepts which are so vital to us, especially in our learning and growing up, that if we miss them, we will never possess a full understanding of life. And it's possible to say that maybe we never will possess a full understanding of life, but these are known as watersheds. A watershed is like the precipice of your roof where the water either goes one way or the other. These kinds of concepts are life-changing. And if you have them, you get to play above the rim, so to speak, in life. If you don't have them, what's left are question after question after question, tons of confusion, lots of pain, and even suffering. And so in this post today, in this podcast, we're going to examine such a vital concept. Now, the rise of our advanced civilization, all the technologizing, all of the scientific advancements, they all stem from our predominant scientific worldview. Now, our adherence and even attraction to science has, for many, relegated spirituality to the sidelines of personal preference, meaning, you know what, if you want to be spiritual, that's fine, but we're in the scientific age now, and science has disproven a lot of your religion and your spirituality and your stories and your myths. And as a result, we're going to stick to the facts. So if you want your religion, you can have it, but just keep it to yourself, right? That's kind of the vein in which I'm coming from here. If you see that, then you understand something here. This is because the scientific worldview, that is, it came after the kind of high church, the very institutionalized, the very tribal worldview that the world had and that was dominating the world prior to the Renaissance. You know, and it mistakenly sees spirituality as going backwards. So, yes, back in the olden tribal religious hierarchical days, the religious worldview which dominated was replaced in the free-thinking scientific renaissance. And then as that scientific worldview gave birth, it now sees spirituality as going backwards or regressive. And quite honestly, some of it is. How many conservative religious people do you know that actually believe the path forward for us is to actually go back to a better day instead of on to a new day? So from a scientific perspective, some of those claims are understandable, but let's face it, spirituality is not backwards facing. Western scientific logic basically bases reality on those things which it sees or deems empirically provable. Now, this is great as far as it goes, but it does fail to address, and it even denies, any kind of reality that falls outside of empiricism. You ever hear scientific people say, well, if I can't see it, taste it, touch it, measure it, then it must not exist. And this usually pops up in conversations like, hey, do you believe ghosts exist? Well, they'll say, well, I can't measure it. So then all of a sudden you have some ghost buster who comes up with a tool to measure electrostatic something or other. And they claim that when it pegs in the meter that that's a ghost. And then the scientifically minded person says, well, there's some logical explanation for why there's electrostatic electricity there. We just haven't found it yet, right? So they're just glued to their empiricism. And they're not willing to open up beyond that, you know, they just don't see it. And they won't see it. And they see logic itself as empirically based, which is really interesting. Because logic falls outside of empiricism, right? They claim it's not logical to believe in a ghost, and then logic itself is not something you can measure. Don't you find that interesting? Mathematics is not a man-made concept. Certainly, humanity has discovered mathematics, but we didn't create it. And it's used to calculate scientific reality. In other words, the empiricist relies so heavily on mathematics to create reality, but mathematics itself is not empirically based. You cannot weigh the number 3. You can't tell me what a 7 smells like or the circumference of a 6. And so what is 3-ness based upon? If you can't empirically measure it, you see, there is reality that is not empirically based. And the irony here is that scientists use a worldview beyond the scientific worldview in order to make sense of science. Now, I say that as a person who's been in the sciences of human genetics and cancer diagnostics for more than 15 years. So let's get at this. You see, this is a portal for us to really come together, to kind of get out of our tribal groupthink of, well, it's spirituality versus science. And guess what? Science versus spirituality is the same argument from the other side. So logic tells us that A cannot equal non-A without being arbitrary. And there may be a place where that makes sense and is in part true. But we're also told objects cannot be in two places at the same time, and quantum physics is starting to question that. We are essentially given a description of the world that is understood through the scientific lens. And for most of us, that's good enough, right? But there are a lot of questions that go unanswered if all there is to reality is that which is empirically measured. Logic is not empirically measured. So if we appeal to logic, we are appealing to transcendent reality. Do you understand that? We are so close to God, we don't even recognize it. Logic tells us that non-scientific or abstract ideas are not reality, because they're seen as double talk. Well, if you can have A equal non-A, you know, so, such as the discussion of Jesus as the Son of God. Well, is God, is he God or is he a man? Which is he, one or the other? And every Christian will tell you he's both. Well, how can that be? And if you're appealing to scientific logic, right? So this leaves far more questions than answers. But let's keep going. Quantum physics is challenging the scientific lens, and it's opening up new ways to understand the world. And it's very interesting because when you get down to quantum mechanics, things aren't working like we always thought they were. But the same has always been true for spirituality as far as opening up new ways for us to understand the world. And throughout all of spiritual history, all of religions, all of the worldwide religions, going all the way back to the tribal dude in the Bushmen of the Kalahari, of these native indigenous human, you know, tribes and their religious beliefs, through every mainline worldwide religion and the fringe as well, they all speak to something. And it has all identified a very common recurring theme, and that is that theme of both and. And both and is very disruptive to the scientific either-or worldview, right? In science, it's either this or it's that. And it subcategorizes everything to make sense of it. Because when we can make sense of something, we can control it and understand it. And that's the goal of science. That's the job of science. And that's a good job. But it doesn't address all that there is. You see, both and is also known as a unitive perspective. It's known as non-duality. It's known as singularity, unity, oneness, okay? It's about the convergence of all things into one thing. Now, what's interesting is in the Higgs boson particle separator, when they were trying to understand the theory of the universe on the quantum mechanic scale, there were two diverging opinions. One was supersymmetry and the other was chaos theory. And after running that particle accelerator and colliding things into each other, it's ironically landed right in the middle. It's neither, but it's both. You know, in Judaism, the very beginning of understanding anything at all is known as the Shema. And the Shema basically says that we are to realize that the Lord is one. God is one. Now, this is not just saying God is, promoting monotheism. This is going beyond that. And it's helping the student to realize that everything is connected. It's connected by, from, and to a single source. And Jesus himself corroborates this in Mark 12, 28, and 29. So this is interesting. So we have Judaism speaking about this oneness. Buddhism teaches that all suffering comes from our gravitating to one side or the other in all categories. We're either fleeing something or running to something. And it instructs people to learn the middle way, where the two are not opposites and you're not avoiding, but they're the one and the same thing. And you let your suffering become your teacher. Right? Solomon's wisdom teaches us, this is supposedly the smartest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived, said, "Be not overly righteous and don't make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Don't be overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It's good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand. From the one who fears God shall come out from both of them." Again, speaking of, don't get stuck in either side of this. Here's a neat example of this idea from Jesus' teaching. And he said to them, "When you make the two into one, and when you make the inner like the outer, and the outer like the inner, and the upper like the lower, and when you make the male and female into a single one so that the male will not be male and the female be female, when you make eyes in place of an eye and a hand in place of a hand, a foot in place of a foot, an image in place of an image, then you will enter the kingdom. And that's from the Gospel of Thomas, verse 22. So you have these amazing teachers throughout all of history implying and going after this idea that what you think is separated is actually not. It's actually one thing. So the universal principle goes beyond teaching us about moderation. It's more than just avoid extremes here, okay? It's guiding us to begin looking at everything as connected, as one big thing. That's the watershed. Stop dividing up the world and start seeing how the world is connected. If you start there with a point of connection, you don't end up in war. You end up in love and peace. It's guiding us to look at everything as one big thing, even if we only grasp a part of it. You know, the Puritans and the Reformers, they get to this reality via their grasp of sovereignty. The mystics, they get there via contemplation. The Eastern mind gets there through meditation. And now the scientific mind through quantum mechanics. So the trend line is proving that we are all headed the same direction as our consciousness rises. That's very encouraging. We got a long way to go, though, folks. We have a lot of division. I mean, just look at our political environment. What if it turns out that the scientific logic that separates us from our enemies is actually misleading us, and that spiritual reality turns out to be correct when it shows us that our enemy is actually our brother? There are too many examples of this that I could put in this podcast here, that's for sure. But just know that when we split the world or any aspect of the world into small subcategories that we can manage and control, it's good that we do that in order to make sense, but we miss something. We end up diminishing some aspect of this major watershed concept. And to the degree that we're able to see things as one and as connected, to the same degree we are able to take hold of God. The unavoidable byproduct of this transcendent experience is a dramatically different humanity and a trajectory for our world. It's that big. It's something we need to watch out for. So pay attention to those things that you divide, then open your eyes to see how they're connected. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.